Welcome to the homily studio for the 12th Sunday of Ordinary Time. There are four of us gathered here to reflect with you, wherever you are, on the readings for Mass on this Sunday. We're trying to enter into the truth of things through the liturgy of the Church. We're trying to understand the words of these readings, certainly, but also using the readings as a mirror to try and understand the meaning of our own lives, seeing how God speaks to us in the circumstances that he gives us to live. So we'll begin by introducing ourselves. My name's John Kinder. I'm speaking to you from Perth in Western Australia, although I am actually a Palmerston North boy, born in Invercargill, if the truth be told. But I've lived in Perth most of my life now, and I'm standing in for Father John, who is working hard on a well-deserved sabbatical. So would the other three people in the room like to introduce themselves?
Hello, I'm Catherine Gibbs. I live in Lower Hutt, Te Awa Karangi, which for those people who are not sure where that is, it's just north of Wellington. Presently, I'm adapting to a different lifestyle, which enables me to gain some new skills and some insights into food at the moment. I'm looking at things like slow food and eating seasonally and things like that.
Sounds wonderful. I'm Kathleen Petrie. I am in Devonport, which is a suburb on the northern side of Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. I work in the local parish as a secretary.
Kia ora koutou, Rory Patterson is my name. I'm an RE advisor for the Diocese of Christchurch and I live in North Canterbury.
Right. Thank you. Well, we begin in prayer, always asking the Spirit to guide us for in the words that we will speak together, but also praying for those who might listen to this recording, asking the Spirit to guide us all into a richer life of communion with the God who made us. We pray with the entrance antiphon for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The Lord is the strength of his people, a saving refuge for the one he has anointed. Save your people, Lord, and bless your heritage, and govern them forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, who would like to jump into on rough seas? Who would like to start us off?
Well, I just think it's really appropriate that this Sunday we're hearing about Jesus calming the storm, because it's also the day of prayer for migrants and refugees in New Zealand. And I was just reading this morning that the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has published the figure of 120 million people currently living forcibly displaced by war, violence, and persecution. So that's 24 times the population of New Zealand. And particular among those people are those in the Pacific, where climate change is driving the need for migration, the rising sea levels. So thinking about Jesus calming this particular storm is very appropriate today.
There's certainly a lot of storms around us. I do think that the situation with the climate refugees, as we're calling them these days, I think, is quite dire. And perhaps if we start with the first reading to link in with that idea, which, by the way, is a poetic masterpiece from Job 38. It was so amazing just to read those few lines that we've got for Sunday that I went back to the beginning of chapter 38 and read all the way to 40, where God speaks out of the storm. And it's well worth visiting that whole discourse if people have time to look in the Bible, Job chapter 38. And God's responding to Job's frustration of like, why is this happening? Why is all this bad stuff's going on? My life's just a disaster, and you're supposed to be God. And we read just a short extract for this Sunday, where God creates order from the wildness of the oceans of the sea. And I really like the line towards the end where it says, "I set limits for the sea," says God. "Thus far shall you come, but no further." And we now have, as you mentioned, Kath, this emerging problem where we've got advances in science and technology and AI, where humans are making themselves almost as a god. But we seem to be unable to set limits to our own wants. And the rising seas are just one sample of how our human quest for unlimited growth has, within our planetary boundaries, is now creating this really unfortunate situation of people having to move because their houses are now getting underwater. So Job and us today, reading this extract, are being woken up, I guess, to the reality of an awesome God, all powerful, who conquered, who controls all of our natural world, and who also conquered death. That's my little starter.
Right.
I was sort of tr I often try to identify a theme or an idea that's coming through in each of the readings, and this time I landed on this idea of the water. So we've got the Job reading where God is putting these limits on the sea, the water. Water, of course, as a symbol, can be life-giving. But in these readings, really the focus is on the dangerous aspects of bodies of water. And even in the second reading, which, as I've often said in this podcast, is often the odd one out, there is the reference to the baptism. So, well, there's an inference of baptism, shall we say. I was fascinated with this role of Jesus bringing calm to the chaos of the storm. And recently we had a priest die here. Father Anton MacLean was his name. He was a Dunedin priest originally, but he had been here for 40-odd years. And one of the stories I heard about him was from the time of the earthquakes. And it was from one of our secondary colleges said that in the days immediately following the earthquake, people were in this sort of chaos, panic. A lot of people's homes were damaged. But, how will we run the school? How will we do this? And people were sort of running around like headless chickens. And there was a mass, a particular school put on, invited Father Anton to come and say mass for them. And afterwards, the feedback from the Catholics on staff and others was of the peacefulness that he brought just by his presence and the message that he gave in the homily about, let's focus on our essential tasks. Let's so for that group of people, Father Anton fulfilled this role of Jesus as bringing sort of peace in the midst of chaos. So that's what came to mind to me initially.
Yeah, the gospel is one of my favorite images. Jesus falling asleep in the back of the ship with his head on a cushion. It's beautiful in Mark's gospel sometimes, the little details. He just kind of very nonchalantly drops in the story, like when they got in the boat. The translation I've got here says, "And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus just as he was in the boat." Which I'm not quite sure that, like, with they didn't pack a bag. He didn't just as just Jesus as he was. Beautiful. And then he's falling asleep, his head on a cushion. So he'd really settled down for a good kip in the back of this boat.
I love that image of someone putting a cushion under his head, a pillow under his head, because he was, just as he was exhausted after the day of preaching from the boat. And that action of kindness, I think, is another theme that comes through all of these readings, in that in Job's case, you know, he's looking for answers to why he has lost so much of his life. But the restoration of his life comes about through his friends and family, who come right at the end of the book of Job and give him money and food and cattle, and to the point where he has more than he started with. So, and also going on from the little bit of Mark's gospel that we've got, you know, Jesus is going to ask the disciples to be ambassadors for that loving kindness, for the love of Christ, that they, for a little while, fail to experience when they're panicking about the possibility of sinking.
And looking at Job, that presumably was a story that the apostles knew well. They were good, God-fearing Jews. They must have heard the story over and over again. And, you know, the Psalm of the day, 106, which is all about people going on the ship and the waves came and God controlled the sea. So the person who controls the sea is the Creator, Yahweh, God. And now this bloke asleep with his head under a cushion wakes up and he does exactly what the Almighty, Eternal God does. I must say that gospels like this are a real challenge to me, because I still like to think of, you know, God, say, as distant, and someone to whom my life's journey is to reach out towards, this God who I know, this God made me and loves me and keeps me in being, but my job is to go and reach him. But the gospel challenges me to understand that actually God can work specific actions in my life now. He can calm the waters. He can step into my life and actually do stuff. And I still find that, feel like this is true confessions time. I still find that a challenge, to actually believe that God can calm the waters of my life. I still feel deep down somehow that life's a test, and my job in life is to do the best I can, and God will give me a, you know, reward in. But this says, well, no, God is just waiting to be asked. And if he's asked, he will wake up from his sleep and calm the waters. I need to learn to ask.
I think it is challenging. Our faith is challenged by these, and we're challenged by the storms in our life, not just sea storms, but all the things that go on in our chaotic little lives. And the result of that is that recognition of our need for God. We need God to rescue us, to help us out of the messes and the chaos and the storms. And I think, as you say, John, this is the challenge, is to find for ourselves, and also you were talking about Father Anton, to locate that calm. There is a calm, still point amid the chaos inside us, deep inside us, that is, for Christians, is Christ, that Christ is with us in the boat. Just he was in the boat with the apostles. He's in our boat. We're all in this together. And that also we can't navigate our storms on our own. That we remember Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I think that's one of the key messages that I find from this gospel is apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm with you, even though you're in real chaos and it's a mess and you're worried, I'm here. I'm with you. I won't let you go. I won't let you down.
I absolutely agree, Catherine. You've landed on a point that I've written down about the reality of our lives is that we do have times of chaos or fear, or we have problems, and Job is a fine example of someone facing those, and our lives in some ways mirror that at times. And then this idea of having faith in the gospel to deal with those. And one of the tricks of being a person of faith, I think we have to be careful not to believe that faith will make our problems go away. But having faith sometimes does help us or help provide a way forward. And so I think faith helps us deal with the chaos that we encounter in our lives. And that's where Jesus, when he asks that question, I think it's an invitation to just recenter ourselves or reorient in relation to the difficulties we encounter. Are we responding in a way that is going to help us move forward? It's not going to make the problem go away, but that's what he's asking us. He's not asking us, you know, it's not, your faith isn't going to solve everything for you, but it will certainly help.
That the question of faith, you know, we call ourselves people of faith, which means that we believe, we're believers. And we believe, we stand up every Sunday and say what we believe in as members of this faith community. But one of the things that we don't say is we have to believe in our own responsibility to carry on the word that we're hearing, to be what John O'Connor calls the fifth gospel. We have to believe in our own responsibility for that, because that's the only way that Christ can work in this sad and sinful world.
And isn't that, sorry, Kat.
No, just if we have to believe that things can change, but that we have some responsibility for making them change.
But isn't that the message coming through from Paul in the Corinthians, where in the last line it says, so whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. We need to live our lives for others instead of ourselves. We need to be more secure in our faith in Christ and do what Christ is asking us to do. That's what I'm picking from the Corinthians piece.
Yes, because Paul got it. Paul had got it wrong, hadn't he? You know, he'd seen in the old dispensation, he'd seen Jesus as an apostate Jew. You know, someone who had to be stamped out because he was going against the tenets of the Jewish faith and encouraging others to go against them too. So Paul has also experienced that new creation of the old thing, old beliefs, the old discriminations passing away, and a new light.
Can I just wear my little music hat for a second and suggest that anyone who's listening, who's thinking about a suitable hymn for Mass this weekend, I can't think of a better hymn than the one that goes, be still and know that I am God. And the beautiful second verse, I am the Lord who saves and heals. And the beautiful third verse, in you, O God, I put my trust. It's written for this scripture this weekend, for sure.
Ezra, I think we'll make sure that, I don't know how to do this, but we'll get a link to that hymn on the recording of this.
I'll send you a link. There's several versions on YouTube.
Great.
It's lovely. Catherine, I also had a musical scene going through my head, you know, often you get an earworm, but it was nothing so sacred as the one you're suggesting. It was the monkeys, I'm a Believer. You know,
from the sublime to the what?
Yeah, but listen to the words, and I'm substituting his for her. Then I saw his face, now I'm a believer, not a trace of doubt in my mind. I've been loved, now I'm a believer. I couldn't leave him if I tried.
Couldn't leave him if I tried.
I'm not going to try and sing it.
We were waiting, Kat, we were waiting. But what happens in the gospel, you know, is that God falls asleep. It's one of those moments in the, there are a few moments where, you know, where God, Jesus falls asleep on the job, so to speak. And the apostles are terrified because he seems to have ignored them. And one of the most beautiful things I've ever read, when I read it every year, is a reflection by Pope Benedict about Holy Saturday. You know, Holy Saturday, you know, the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the day when God fell asleep. So Jesus is in the tomb. Nothing happens in any Catholic church anywhere on the planet. God seems to have fallen asleep. The world seems to be in darkness because God seems to have fallen asleep. We are alone. The crucifixion's happened, but the resurrection hasn't happened yet. And Benedict says it's like, precisely like this moment here. The apostles are in the boat, fine. They believe, fine. But the one they believe in has fallen asleep when they most need him. And Benedict says something like, you know, yeah, Jesus goes into the tomb on Holy Saturday. Jesus falls asleep in the boat so that he can experience our powerlessness and our loss and the darkness that we all have to go into. He's been there. So when we have moments of fear and of darkness and we can't see a way forward and we're frightened because the seas are going to swamp us, Jesus has been there. He's been there before us. And he will, in good time, wake and do whatever is required to bring us to safety. It might not be the easy way that we would like, but he will bring us to safety. So something beautiful for me about God seeming to fall asleep so that he can go into the fears that I think are only mine, but he's actually been there.
Can I throw in yet another idea? I was struck by the line, the wind ceased and there was great calm. And it reminded me of, I think that power of Jesus reminded me of witnessing once 20 odd years ago, the anointing of a teenager who had been involved in a car accident and was on death's door, really, in intensive care at Christchurch Hospital. And I witnessed this priest anoint him. There was a handful of people there, and it was a highly dramatic situation, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning kind of thing. Well, it felt like it. And at the end of the anointing ritual, just the peace and calm that came over the immediate family who were present, not all of whom were Catholic. And even there was a little, and I forgive me, listeners to the podcast, if I have told the story before, so I apologize. I'm not sure if I have, but there was an Israeli male nurse, and he made the comment afterwards, there's something going on there even he could realize or recognize this what from this gospel would be this calming presence of God in Jesus. And that line just jumped out of me and thought, yes, that I've witnessed that. And it is a powerful presence when you observe it. And others who've experienced similar things will understand what I'm sort of getting at there.
Right. Thank you, Rory. Look, time's marched on, good people. We need to close up now with what John O'Connor calls a takeaway line. So if we're sharing these readings with friends and others, what would be our takeaway from these readings for the 12th Sunday?
I think mine would be that we acknowledge the storms in our lives and our world and in our church at the moment. But if there is faith in Jesus, there's no fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to keep believing.
Yes, I'll follow that, Kath, that actually we're truly blessed when we know our need of God, that God is greater than our plans,
mm-hmm.
and to know our own fragility and our need of God is a good thing.
Mm.
We need faith and we need trust and we hope. That's my takeaway.
And for me, I'm thinking of Jesus. Obviously, I'm thinking again of Father Anton, about him being the calming, faithful presence to those around him. And that's my challenge for myself, but also to others. How can we be that Christ-like presence, that calming, faithful presence to others that we encounter this week?
I think I would take away the response to the psalm, which says, "Give thanks to the Lord, his love is everlasting." And that would be my takeaway, because when I'm in a storm, I might find it difficult to have the faith and the hope that I would like to have. But the way for me to hold on to that faith and hope is to look back at everything I have and everything I've received and to give thanks for it. I know that the Lord has been good to me up to this point, so it only makes sense to think he will continue to be good. So for me, the way forward is to look back. Well, that's been a wonderful reflection. Thank you very much to the three people with me in this virtual room. We'll close, as John O'Connor always does, in prayer, by praying the Collect prayer from the Mass of the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Grant, O Lord, that we may always revere and love your holy name, for you never deprive of your guidance those you set firm on the foundation of your love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks very much. Thank you, good Thank people.
You. Thank you for leading, John. Well done.
Yes.
It's not an easy thing to do, is it, to lead?
No, I've got to do it next week, and I'm feeling very nervous already.
Well, I can feel the love in the room.
Yeah, we're all on the same boat.
We are.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Have a great day,
thank
people.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.